This is a request to amend the conditions of approval for subdivision reference 2014-2 Schofield to include a gated access at Monroe Avenue Extension to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County. The property is located within the 166-lot Schofield subdivision on Monroe Avenue Extension, approximately 187.3 feet from the intersection of Battle Mixer Drive and Monroe Avenue Extension. The 911 address is not available. The tax parcel ID is District 335, Map 8, Parcel 51.00, and the zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential District. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, which includes a visualisation from the applicant. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We have a letter from the Office of the State Fire Marshal. We have a letter received from the Schofield Homeowners Association. I would note that we have received 13 comments, although one or two of those appear to have multiple exhibits and attachments, but there are 13 documents in total, and that is it. Thank you.
All right. Yes, sir.
Thank you. May I pass out copies of our presentation?
You can start by telling us who you are.
Oh, thank you. My name is Rick Babiars. I'm the president of Schofield HOA. I've been in Schofield for about 4.5 years and watched it grow from infancy to near completion.
All right, I would ask you to hand those to our director. Typically, materials need to be turned in 10 days ahead of time, but he'll look at these and see if we can receive
them. I apologize for that. I came with Chase yesterday, and he indicated I could drop these off today.
These appear, Mr. Chairman, to just be extra copies of
what's
already in
the same
record.
Thing. Okay, very good. Yeah, okay. No, it's already in the record. You're fine.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I wasn't sure if you might.
I didn't think about it being the same thing. I thought it was something different.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's quite all right. Go ahead. Okay. You may have the floor.
Okay, first thing I wanted to do is I wanted to submit a petition that was signed by 151 lots in our community, 151 of the 166 lots. And I just, if it's okay with you, I'd like to read it and then turn that over to Mr. Whitehouse as well.
Okay.
We, the undersigned residents of Schofield, strongly desire that the residential character of the streets within our community be maintained and not become essentially secondary roads for traffic to and from Gills Neck Road and Freeman Highway. We firmly believe that the proposed gate will accomplish that result and greatly assist in maintaining a safe environment for children, pedestrians, and bicyclists within Schofield. Therefore, we express our full support for the request to permit the installation of a vehicle gate. And we, as I said, we have 151 signatures out of 166 lots. And may I ask the attendees here who do approve of the gate to raise their hand?
I might do that before we're done.
Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. There are two page threes in there, and we did have some electronic signatures on the petition, and the page threes are labeled 3A and 3B because they did not overlap completely. As I said, I want to thank you for allowing me to present today. Just want to be here to discuss the situation that we currently face in Schofield. But before I begin, I read some of the opposition online, and I just wanted to clarify a few points that appear in that opposition.
Okay.
The first point is that we are not public streets. Someone made a comment that there should be free access from public roads to public roads. We are private streets, we maintain our streets, we pay for our snow plowing and all road repairs. Secondly, our streets are really not designed for transient traffic. We do offer a connection between Gills Neck and Freeman Highway, but the way the design of the roads are, and you'll see later in the presentation, the main thoroughfare within Schofield is two one-way narrow roads with a landscape buffer in between. And you'll see some pictures that I'll show you that show that it's a very difficult thing and not really readily able to support a lot of traffic.
Okay.
The third item is we do have the full support of the State Fire Marshal and the Lewis Fire Department Chief. His one stipulation was that we do have add a Yelp feature to the gate so that the gate can be opened by emergency vehicles. But his stipulation was also that they do not prefer to go through residential areas during emergencies. They prefer to use secondary roads, so they would use Savannah Road Freeman Highway, Kings Highway, and Gills Neck Road to approach our community. They would not cut through to get over to communities on Gills Neck Road. And then the fourth item is, we've noticed, I think, and it's a common problem in Sussex County, violations of our traffic rules. Number one, speed limits, and number two, stop sign compliance. And I do have some information on that later in the presentation. And then finally, just one small point. Delaware State Police have advised some of our members that communities with one entrance are much safer than communities with two entrances. So we'd love to see that entrance gated so that any person that comes in to do damages to our communities can have one escape, and that's a major deterrent from what I've been heard, that I've been told.
Do you have...
I'm looking, do you have anything in writing from the state police that supports that? And the other question I have that I'm looking is, do you have, I didn't see a letter, and maybe I missed it, from the Lewis Fire Company in the record.
If you look the last two pages of the presentation, I have okay. both the state fire
it's
marshal.
It's on a separate page in our booklet.
Okay, all right, that's what I was looking at.
In the booklet that I passed out, yes.
All right, thank you.
Okay, and how do I, could I start the presentation?
Oh,
thank you. First thing I want to do is really set the stage for the area that Schofield is located in. As you might know, it's a rather congested area in the sense that we butt up against the city of Lewis to the back of our community. And we have Sussex County, which is our entire community is in Sussex County. Okay.
If you hear nothing wrong,
there we go. Okay, very sensitive. I just wanted to give you this sense of what the community is surrounded by. Today, there's 1,450 homes along Gills Neck Road, and three additional planned communities, and actually there's four additional planned communities. One new one that was proposed is called White's Pond Preserve, and that's in Lewis, so that wouldn't you guys probably wouldn't hear about that one. There's three that have been approved since Schofield was approved, and those are Admiral's Chase, Old Town, and Governor's. And the ones with question marks up there are the ones that are currently being planned and proposed, some in Sussex, some not in Sussex. I think a later presentation will cover some of the ones that are question marks toward the bottom there. The ones that are in the light purple are the communities that have been on Gills Neck Road for quite some time. They were there before the existence of any potential proposed cut through to over onto Freeman Highway. And you can see from the red line, that's the proposed Monroe Future that will be built as part of Old Town. And the pink line there is the cut through route that we see a lot of traffic taking through Schofield. It's a rather congested, as you might imagine, because we have Cape Henlopen High School there. We've got Freeman Highway, which support the beaches and the ferries, and Cape Henlopen as well. I'll leave it at that. Oops. So why are we here? We're concerned about the growing safety risks from the speeding, from the ignoring of stop signs in the community, from the traffic cutting through the community, and not listening to or obeying our traffic rules. We see continued future growth. I mean, you see that in every meeting that you have here. That growth just continues unabated in Sussex County. And we happen to be fortunate that we're near the beaches, but also unfortunate because we have the disadvantage of having all the traffic that comes from Cape Henlopen and Lewis Beaches, Ferry, et cetera. We've taken steps to reduce that risk. We've reached out to some traffic experts to help us with some ideas. And we want to present the solution, our gate solution, that maintains safety, continues the safe environment that our community has. It doesn't disrupt travel time of any local residents or local trips in surrounding communities. Ensures emergency access, as I've already stated, and prevents overuse of our residential streets. And so in the end, we're requesting approval to install a gate at the back end of our community. And you'll see that on a map in a little bit. As JLAM started to do the site work for Schofield, they built a construction road. And this road points out, the top of the picture points out towards Freeman Highway, and the bottom of the picture is Schofield. And the road has always been full of potholes, full of puddles of water, lots of screws and nails have dropped in there. And it's been a very popular passage for a lot of vehicles. They avoid potholes, and this is just an example in this one. They go on the sidewalk. JLAM put up a new sidewalk, new devil strip for us, and to avoid a puddle, most of the cars were driving up on the sidewalk to get around it. So it's been a popular route for a lot of cars, and one that we see it's not going to get any worse. It's not going to get any better for us. And it's not a faster route. That's the key message. I think people perceive it as a shortcut because on a map, it looks like it's a lot shorter, but it really isn't. I took this information from MapQuest last spring. The road is now closed because they're doing the site work for Old Town White's Pond. But these are just some common trips that I thought made sense and were things that people in the surrounding communities might take. To get from Senators to downtown Lewis, Schofield is 2 minutes longer than either Gills Neck Road or Kings Highway. Wolf Point to downtown Lewis, Wolf Point to the Rite Aid or Beebe Hospital, Hawkside to Cape Henlopen, and Hawkside to Rite Aid. In no case is it faster to go through Schofield unless you're violating our traffic rules, unless you're running our stop signs and going against our speed limit, exceeding our speed limit. Lewis required a traffic signal study for the intersection of Monroe and Freeman Highway, as you probably may have heard. The results of that were that a traffic light is required at the intersection, and JLAM will be required to put one in. It's a very interesting intersection because it's got a lot of things going on there. The little green bars are two bicycle trails that are quite popular in the area. The Lewis to Georgetown Trail, which we hope someday we'll be able to bicycle all the way out here, as well as the Junction and Breakwater Trail. They're both on opposite sides of the Freeman Highway. We also have parking for cyclists in the library parking lot, and we have bike rentals and bike repairs on the other side of Freeman Highway. Lewis just approved a new restaurant and retail complex on the property going along Freeman Highway down towards the beaches. So that will be on White's Pond and another source of additional traffic. But the main conclusion of the study is that these improvements are going to increase traffic from Freeman Highway as well as from Gills Neck through Schofield as well as through Old Town White's Pond. And so it creates a real mess. And today it's a real mess because it's a highway and drivers just do not stop for bicyclists or passengers. One of the things I want to point out is traffic is a mess down that way now. I took this a couple weeks ago, and last night when we were going out to dinner, I took it again. And this is at Kings Highway at Gills Neck Road, looking down towards the water, towards Lewis. And traffic as far as the eye can see. And sometimes that traffic does back up all the way to Monroe Avenue.
Don't worry, they're putting 5 traffic circles in. It'll take care of it.
But if you looked at the DelDOT site, the date is TVD, and TVD means a long ways away.
I'm on the commission.
Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah. So we're happy to hear that. We're very excited to hear that. But one of the problems that this traffic has, these are vacationers. These are people coming across from the ferry, and they're not from around here. A lot of them are going to use navigation systems, Waze, MapQuest, Google Maps. And I know from my experience, those systems, if they can save you 10 seconds, they'll direct you on a different route. And Monroe, if you're stopped looking at 5 light cycles to get through the traffic light at the high school, you're going to want to be able to find a faster route. So you'll turn that on, and it undoubtedly will direct them through Monroe Avenue, through Schofield, now to Gills Neck Road, where we'll have fewer, less light cycles at the high school. And basically, those people will be in a hurry because they're vacationers, they're not familiar with the area, and they feel like they're being held up by all of this traffic, so they're anxious to get to where they want to be. Show Jumper Lane, as I said earlier, is a narrow, two narrow one-way streets, basically separated with a landscape median. As you can see here in these pictures, the one on the left there is showing a service truck parked, you know, either cutting grass or repairing something at someone's house. The one on the right shows a similar situation, and there's the Amazon driver jumping out of the car, you know, directly into the path of somebody who might be hurrying through. The middle picture basically just shows cars parked along Show Jumper, and you can see how narrow that road becomes. And it makes it very difficult for a lot of people to get through, and the road just isn't designed to be a high-capacity road or a through road. It's kind of interesting. I mean, if the intention was to have this road, have Schofield be a cut-through for other communities, it would have been designed a little bit differently. It wouldn't have that big jag in the road. The route that people would take would pass by 41 households, school bus stop, and four intersections. And I think each one of those is an opportunity for an accident or an injury to a pedestrian, a child, dog walker, or whatever. Here's another view of a school bus stop, and you can see the number of children that we have. We have 63 school-aged children in the community, and the school bus stop is right in the middle of that route. Seniors represent about a third of the community, and we're a very active community. We love cycling, jogging, walking. Most everybody has a dog, and we're out walking dogs all the time. So if the road's blocked with a truck and someone's hurrying through there and people are crossing the road, it presents a very dangerous situation. So to mitigate, we thought we would ask some traffic experts and say, what can we do to help our situation? And so we consulted Dr. Earl Lee, who is the chairman of the Environmental and Civil Engineering Department at the University of Delaware. He's also director of the Delaware Center for Transportation and the coordinator of the Delaware T2 Center. The T2 Center is an organization that's made up of state DLDOTs, universities, as well as the Federal Highway Administration to coordinate traffic information. And of course, we went to DLDOT as well. But Matthew Carter was another person in the T2 Center that's very familiar with Sussex County issues. So he also met with us on a number of occasions about the situation. So what was their advice? Their advice was for us to conduct a traffic study to better understand the vehicular patterns in the community. They suggested that we use traffic calming measures, additional measures to slow down traffic. We should conform to the Delaware Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices, which is just simply a manual that says the size of the signs and how they should be placed and so forth, and designed for other traffic control devices. But the one thing they warned us about is don't overuse them. I don't know if many of you go through communities where there's too many stop signs or too many speed humps, and you start to get frustrated and you speed up between them, or you start to, you know, roll through the stop signs. You know, and that's not safe. So we did our traffic study in August of 2022, covered weekdays, weekends, mornings, afternoons, and evening periods. We measured stop sign compliance by direct observation, vehicular speeds using a little handheld radar device. We actually tested it with drivers going certain speeds to confirm that it was accurate and the device was accurate, and counted vehicles and where they were headed. I think the three most important statistics from our study are that 64% of the vehicles coming through our community exceeded the posted speed limit, and 63% did not obey our stop signs. 10 to 15% was cut through traffic, and today we don't have that traffic. We can't replicate that study because Monroe Avenue is closed for Old Town Whitestone site work.
Can I ask a question? Doesn't that mean that 85 to 90 people are your residents that are speeding and not stopping at stop signs?
No, these are the people that we observed.
Right, but you said 10 to 15% of the people are cut-throughs, so that the other percentage must be Schofield residents that are scofflaws in your own community.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I just point that out. It just struck me as interesting.
That was on my mind as well.
Okay. Okay, good point. Very good.
So therefore, you, the whole argument is void.
Well, about that, but
well, that, this is the, when this is when Monroe Avenue was open. So it, you know, this was last summer. But
well, I mean, is that correct though? That 10 to 15% was cut through. Doesn't that mean that 85 to 90% was not?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm saying. Oh, yes. We have the problem internally.
Yeah.
And we're working on that.
Okay.
And that's basically what I wanted to get to. So you're reading my mind a bit.
Yeah, no.
what we did to calm traffic was we put in larger stop signs. Apparently, in a private community, you don't need to have 24 or 30-inch stop signs. So we did put in larger stop signs. We put in stop lines. We put in crosswalks. As you can see, we put in some information up near our bus stop and some children playing signs, and it worked. People were telling me and complimenting me, wow, you know, this is really great, it's working. Traffic is slowing down, they're stopping at the stop signs, but it wears off. People stop to realize those things, and they stop stopping and start speeding a little bit. So we're continuing to work on the current problems and the problems that we have in our community today, but what we're really working on is looking forward to the future when more of this traffic is going to be diverted our way as Old Town Waits Pond opens up. Because as I said, we had a lot of cut-through traffic when the road wasn't paved, when it was full of potholes and puddles and things like that. And when the road is fully paved, it's going to become a lot worse. So the solution we're proposing is the installation of a motor vehicle gate on Monroe Avenue in Sussex County at the City of Lewis boundary. It's fully accessible to pedestrians and cyclists and, of course, emergency vehicles with the Yelp feature that would be part of the gate. As I said earlier, the petition that I just turned in, 151 of our 166 lot owners and homeowners have signed our petition in support of the gate. And that's just a brief drawing or a sketch of what the gate might look like. Again, we don't have a design on the gate. We don't have a plan for the gate at this moment. But the permit, as we see it, is the first step to be able to move forward on further planning. And you can see on the right there, the sidewalk would just interconnect completely with the Old Town Whites Pine sidewalk. And just as a matter of point, that's the sidewalk that people were driving over back when it was still a construction road. This is just another sample illustration of what it might look like, but again, just to emphasize that it's not going to interfere with any cycling or pedestrian traffic, that you know they'll be able to freely pass through that. So the gate's going to reduce traffic on residential streets. In Schofield and in Old Town, it's going to reduce risks of injury or worse situations for children, seniors, pedestrians, and cyclists. And at Monroe and Freeman Highway, it will cut down on traffic coming either into or out of the intersection into Old Town Whites Pond towards Schofield. So it's going to be fewer hurried vehicles cutting through the community, and that's only going to mean safer streets for us. As I said earlier, we've received written approval from the Delaware Fire Marshal. We've received written approval from the Lewis Fire Chief. As I said, he had no objections to the gate, but residential streets have no advantage for emergency situations. They will rely on secondary roads, and the Yelp feature on the gate is going to enable the gate to open if they need it, if they do need to go through the gate, and it will remain open for the duration of an emergency. And the final advantage is it directs traffic onto public roads. Roads that are meant to carry heavier loads of traffic rather than a narrow residential road, as I've said on Show Jumper. Public roads are faster, as as Commissioner Stevenson pointed out, DelDOT does have those five traffic circles, and they are going to make four lanes in there. But I just went to the DelDOT site, and it just has a big TBD, you know. And I'm sure you know a lot more about it than I do, and I'm hoping it's a lot further along. But it worries me, because I know traffic projects are delayed by hearings, by objections, by lots of conditions that are placed upon it. And it's generally years that, you know, years before something actually does happen. And meanwhile, we're living this every day. So, and the final point really is that residential streets cannot be re-engineered. We can't add a second lane to our narrow show jumper lane. We're not going to ban or deny parking on the street or deny service vehicles from parking on the street and potentially blocking visibility of other drivers. So a gate only reduces safety risk from overuse of residential roads. So we feel that the proposed gate is consistent with Sussex County goals. It maintains pedestrian safety of our citizens and our neighbors. It does not increase trip times for local traffic. It does not impede emergency vehicle access. It preserves residential streets as safe, low-volume roads. And finally, you know, residential streets can remain pedestrian and cyclist-friendly, and our community doesn't have to be split by a throughway. So what we're here today for is to ask the Schofield community to, for the Schofield community to ask you to give us a permit to install the gate.
All right, sir. We thank you for your presentation. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Hoy Stevenson.
So I was reading through the notes from when Schofield was initially built, and it had that there would be interconnection to Monroe. Did you know that when you moved in?
Yes. Yes. We knew that. But it wasn't designed the way it should have been to be a through road. As you could see, it goes through four intersections, 41 households. It has several stop signs along the way, left turns and right turns.
That's to slow people down, right?
It slows people down, but it adds to the risks of to the injuries in the community.
Okay. Do you have anything in place? Since I live right there, decided mm-hmm. to talk to a couple people myself. Do you have anything in place in your HOA to handle the people speeding in that? When like a lot of it, I've been told, are your residents
absolutely.
And construction workers.
Absolutely.
And I mean,
yes.
I was on the HOA in my neighborhood, and the construction worker would ride through quickly. I would go tell him, by the way, you do that again, you will not be working here for a week, you'll be fined, and you do it two times, and you just won't work here again. Do you have that in place?
Yes, we're calling the companies that we see that on trucks that are identified. We're calling them, and that does work. You know, just like anything, it works for a while, and we're continuing to do that. We also have a long, not a long history, but we're working very hard on how to do additional speed calming measures, mainly speed humps.
Yeah.
And I think the original speaker, you know, said that speed humps are not great for emergency access, but we see that maybe as one of our only or one of our best options for getting the traffic to slow down, especially near our school bus stop. But we have a few little hills. We have some gradations up and some down, and we want to put some speed. We're considering some speed humps in there. We don't know if we'll go that far. But, you know, we're willing to try anything. It's tough. And I understand there's a lot of surround. I believe you live in Hawkeye.
Yes,
correct?
I do live in Hawkeye.
Yeah, and Hawkeye, you
52,000 people a year going in front of my house.
Yes. Oh, I know. And it's, you know, you have at least your divided highway is a little bit. It's not landscaped in the middle, but you still have that issue.
It's narrower than yours. So,
yeah, no, I agree.
All right, one thing I just wanted to clarify for you, and it seems to be a common thing that people in Sussex County don't realize. When a development comes in and wants to build, it's private roads, but they are dedicated to public use.
Correct.
So I just want everybody to be clear on that.
Yes,
that.
Yes.
Okay, that's all my questions. That. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Hopkins.
Well, I guess if a husband and a wife live in the house and the lane, you know, goes back a ways. I grew up at a house, there's a mile off the main road.
Uh-huh.
So if every time that me and my children, you know, come in and leave, that would mean pretty much every other day, there would be another person driving down the lane, putting wear and tear on it. So I think 10 to 15% is a huge number. I mean, at the end of the week, you take our paycheck and we say, you know what, I think I'm just going to discard 15%. That's a lot, you know, a 15% is a big number. I feel like, you know, people pay, you know, the people in the community. First of all, those streets are narrow. they're extremely narrow.
Yes.
I don't understand why they build them so narrow.
To slow people down, Mr. Hopkins.
Well, you know, it's a... unfortunately, if you don't slow them down and somebody dodges out from a car on a scooter or a bicycle or on foot, you know, that can be. So, you know, if I'm going to get hit, I'd prefer to get hit by somebody who paid to live there as opposed to somebody that's just free, you know, freeloading.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, the gate, I mean, I also agree with Ms. Hoy Stevenson that interconnectivity is important.
Absolutely.
If there's a fire or there's a problem, you can't get out the other way, that you can, you know, you can't get out the only way that you, you know, you can get it. And for the emergency folks to be able to get in, that's very important. I find it interesting that you have to go through all of this effort in order to get what you're asking for, because personally I think it's extremely, you know, reasonable and logical and makes sense. But that's my opinion.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
And I still love you, Kim.
I know where you live, Hopkins.
Votes do not need to be unanimous.
That's right. Okay. That's right. I do appreciate different perspectives.
Indeed. Indeed.
Well, I guess I'm going to state the obvious and say that if the worst offenders seem to be the people that live there, then you need to work on that first. Because
absolutely.
Stopping Monroe access is not going to stop, because if they come in off of your main entrance, they're still going to fly through there. So that's an issue. You mentioned the school bus at the entrance there in the picture that you showed.
Mm-hmm.
That's a stop sign there. So there shouldn't be anybody having a problem with coming up behind a school bus with the lights on.
No.
When there's already a stop there. So I would take exception to that. That's probably not really a big issue. Obviously, I have family that lives in there, and I don't want to see anyone get hurt, whether they're family or not.
Thank you.
But I think we need to be real about what we're looking at here with just the statistics that you presented. And the people that live there need to just slow down. Then I'm looking at this note that we got from Ms. Cornwell from the city of Lewis that is part of the record. And it states in this that the city of Lewis requires an open connection on Monroe Avenue to the Schofield development. So I'm not sure.
They require it in order to.
All right, folks. You're all going to get your chance, okay? It's our turn right now, okay? So thank you. Okay, just hang on.
It's my understanding that the requirement was not on Schofield, but on the other development.
This says Schofield. It says right in her paperwork, to the Schofield development.
Well,
it also says that it should restrict heavy construction vehicles from using Monroe Avenue to access the site. So that shouldn't be happening either.
I thought that statement was a contingent on approving the other development.
So it was a condition of approval for the other development, which is in the jurisdiction of the city of Lewis. However, I think it's safe to also assume that condition was placed on there because currently the final site plan approved by Sussex County shows that as being an open point of connection. So, you know, they wouldn't have required an open connection from Monroe Avenue within the Lewis subdivision to a Sussex County subdivision if it didn't previously exist. I mean, and that's what we're dealing with today.
And it says the condition was recorded on the record plan for the subdivision. Yeah. Right.
I
mean, I realize we don't have any jurisdiction over that. It's in Lewis, but that's what Lewis required.
And by the same token.
Whatever way you want to give that.
Lewis has no jurisdiction over.
That's also true. That's correct.
Schofield. So what I think Lewis is simply doing is pointing out that what the existing condition is, and they're stating that they would like to see it remain the same. It's clearly not their jurisdiction, but it's their opinion, and they've put their opinion on the record, so they're allowed to do that.
Well, in fairness, they're not telling us what to do. They're just stating what their condition is.
They're stating a fact. They're stating an existing condition, and they're allowed to do that.
That's all I have.
Okay. Mr. Mears.
I've supported interconnectivity all along. I understand the importance of it. Simultaneously, I've also said it's creating a spider web of shortcuts through Eastern Sussex County. I support your application.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Staff, anything? Questions?
Comments? None for me, thank you.
Okay.
I have one, because it was my question earlier, and you stated it, and it's in your PowerPoint, about the Lewis Fire Company. Because in your PowerPoint, you state that the residential streets offer no advantage in emergencies. I mean, that's a pretty broad statement, and I don't see that. That's what I was looking for, to see if you had a letter from the Lewis Fire Company that said that. And the letter that Schofield, I guess, prepared, because it's on Schofield's letterhead, is signed by the fire company and the Schofield Homeowners Association, but it doesn't reference that. I mean, what's the basis for that statement?
It was what he told us when we met with him. Right. He said, you know, if it's a secondary road, the sirens go off, cars can pull off to the shoulder. Right. On Show Jumper, you know, there's nowhere for cars to pull off, especially if something's parked there. Okay. You know, you can imagine coming from the Lewis Fire Department down some of their narrow streets and cutting through, you know, cutting across Freeman Highway and going through, you know, what will be Old Town White's Pond. You know, it's just not as safe for them. They can get higher speeds on the water.
But you're not trying to keep them from coming through anyway. If they want, you've made it very available for them. I mean, they just either hit their siren or push the button, and they're able to get through. I don't really, yeah. So.
Yes, we'll fully okay. comply with what they ask us for.
Okay, so if there is a gate, I assume that each resident has some device that activates the gate for them to get in and out.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
Okay. Once they're inside, at that point, really nothing prevents them from speeding down the road and through getting back to their home, right? So my question would be, if you were going to do something like this, have you guys considered a traffic camera, speed camera?
That's one of the things we're discussing right now. Yes.
Mr. Robertson, is it within our purview to require that as a condition of our approval?
I don't think so, because it wouldn't.
Oh, you're no fun.
Yeah. Well, the reason being is because then it puts us in the position of what is the county going to do with that camera?
And that's nothing.
Exactly. So
what they're going to do with it?
Yeah, we're going to buy it.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So I just don't see that as being.
They're
going to
collect the money too.
Yeah. Right. I like the thought, but it's nice something thought. To consider, but not
there
something that,
okay.
that we really
it's,
have any.
It's a suggestion
about.
We can make
yeah.
at that point.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
We all know what happens to those.
Okay. It sounds like yeah. it sounds like they have yeah. an aggregate of issues, and they're trying to get their arms around
oh,
all
no
of them
question.
At the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have our right. a little bit of laundry that you know that we're trying to we need to try to maintain. Sometimes it piles up, and you guys are trying to sort it out. It sounds like.
Yes, sir.
And if I could, one thing, Mr. Hopkins brought up a point, and I'm going to use another example. The reason this had to come in front of the Planning and Zoning Commission, however it works out, is right now there's a final site plan that says this is a through road. That's what's recorded in the county recorder deeds. You know, frankly, that's what shows up on, because the mapping, the GIS mapping that is pulled from what's recorded in the recorded deeds is what, you know, all our first responders use for 911 calls. So if it shows it's open on the mapping, it's open on that in that system. The other thing is that, you know, folks potentially purchase a property in that subdivision, and whether they really know it or not, they're on legal notice of the fact that that's an open road based on what the final site plan that's approved by the commission says and which is recorded downstairs. I point that out because we've actually had a situation where gates were installed without amending the final site plan, and there was litigation as a result of that. There was literally a civil war in a community, not on the Lewis side of the county, but in another one, where a lot of money was spent by the county and by people within that development on opposing sides of it, fighting over it. And ultimately, because it didn't match the final site plan, the Court of Chancery said that the gates that were installed had to be pulled out. So, you know, I know it's kind of a hassle to go through this, but everybody's doing the right thing by pursuing it this way. So, you know, because otherwise, it's a time bomb of a problem somewhere down the line. So,
yes, sir. And when we spoke with gate companies early on, they advised us.
Yeah.
We got to do it. We have to do it the right way.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
This is the right way.
Thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, at this point, I am going to ask for a show of hands of those who endorse the comments that this presenter has made, that he's representing your view. Okay, so none of you are going to need to speak. Is that right?
That's amazing. Yeah. Is there anybody left?
Let me ask it another way. How many people didn't raise their hand in the room?
Yeah.
How many Seriously, people? Anyone who wishes to speak is going to be allowed to speak. However, we do have this rule about sir, I'm going to ask you to back off, okay?
Grab a seat.
But do not approach the podium unless I invite you.
Yes, sir.
But of course, we do have this rule about repetitive testimony, okay? So certainly going to allow folks to speak, and there may very well be one or two people here in opposition, and we very much want to hear from them, okay? So with that being said, we're going to ask you to take a seat nearby, and then we'll see who has an interest in your application. I suspect there's one or two people here that do. So, all right, so. Who would like to speak in favor of? All right, sir, right up front. Come on, now's your time. Give us your name, you may have the floor.
Thank you very much. My name is Scott Fenton. I'm a resident of Schofield.
The microphone was already on.
Yeah, oh, you can.
Yeah,
sorry.
There you go.
My name is Scott Fenton. I'm a resident of Schofield for 5 years now. I was also a part of the traffic study that we performed in Schofield, so I have some answers that were not answered earlier.
Great, okay.
And I'm also on the board.
Outstanding.
So just to give you a heads up on the 10 to 15%, the reason why 10 to 15%, it actually is a very low number compared to the problem we had prior to this. The reason being that when JLAM started to do some renovations on Monroe Avenue, I'm not sure if you saw this, there were flooded roads, there were roads that had potholes that were gonna damage vehicles, and a lot of the people who drove into the community also drove out because they couldn't get out on Monroe when they attempted to. We also, when we were doing the monitoring, we had a person in the front and the back, so we did notice a lot of the cars that did go through, most of them that were successful during this term were mostly trucks and SUVs, people that lived in the other communities. Now, the issue we have right now, we haven't proceeded in installing any traffic calming devices as of yet, because we have to come up with the correct answer. Right now, with the road being completely shut off, this is a low period of time. Had we had this hearing a year ago, this would have been a whole different ballgame. But right now, the road is not open, okay? So we had an influx early on when the road was shut with people coming in. There are less right now because the road is closed. So we are understanding that majority of the traffic we're trying to avoid having coming through Schofield are not typically the people who live in the area. We're worried mostly about the ferry people who are coming through. When the road backs up, they're going to come into our community and they're going to go right past Hawk's Eye. They're going to go into the other way and they're going to end up in the middle of town. So we're going to bring all the people in if we don't have a way to calm the road, people have them not able to get through. 151 people answered. There are 18 lots that are still undeveloped, and some of the people we couldn't reach. So it probably would have been practically 100% if we were able to get everybody. Some of the owners of lots undeveloped are out of state, and we couldn't reach them in time for this meeting.
What are the total number of lots?
166.
166 is the total, and you got
151. We did reach a few people that had undeveloped lots, but some of the undeveloped lot people, we couldn't get them to sign.
Well, I thought you said you had 18 that you couldn't reach. Well, that adds up to more than 166.
Right. Some of them we reached. Some of the undeveloped lot people are people who did commit.
Okay.
So we probably could have got 100% if we could have had more time, but we didn't have time for that.
Well, it looks like 200 of them are here tonight.
Lot owner meaning one per lot. So each of the signatures is one per lot. The prior road was gravel. So even before the potholes did recess and before the flooding did occur on, and I don't know if you ever had driven through, you noticed that road was gravel. All the shrubbery was overgrown. We did still have a lot of people before. It lessened when the road became uninhabitable for vehicles that had low clearance, but SUVs and trucks did get through. So any car traffic that's going to stop, it's going to queue on going on to Route 9. So we're going to have not only us having a situation of a traffic backup in a private community, so is the Old Town. So a lot of the problems that we're experiencing, Old Town, which is in Lewis, they're going to have their own battle. They may also want to put a gate up too on their side. We don't know what's going to happen, but they're going to have the same battle we're going to have, but that's going to be on Lewis property, I'm sure, because the other side of our barrier becomes Lewis.
Ask real quick, so the people from Old Town won't have a way to get through to you?
Well,
you'll be able to drive through Old Town, but Old Town can't drive through Schofield?
We haven't spoken to them yet, and there's a good possibility that if the gate is approved and they need to come into our community, it's possible we could share the code to get in with them. All emergency vehicles will have access with the Yelp, like we talked about. Your presenter, who was here earlier today, when he left, I had a conversation with him, and he mentioned to me that he'd be in favor of a gate much more strongly than he would of us putting speed bumps and speed humps. Because
yeah.
He says that if we get the gate, he thinks the traffic will be so minimized that if they do need to get through, one hit at a Yelp. He did advise, though, he prefers to have just a straight gate, so something that if the electronics fail for any, they could crash the gate, we'd be responsible to fix it. We have no problem with doing that. We're 100% safety oriented, and if that's going to help emergency vehicles and fire trucks. Mm-hmm. You also had asked Mr. Robinson about the answer for the fire department. From the conversation with the fire department, they said they were nervous about having their large trucks going down a narrow street, and they would always use Gill's Neck around from Savannah or come King's Highway to the other side. The only reason they would come that direction, if there were anything that occurred right on our end street, which is Battle Mixer, that is the only street that they could get to without having the narrow passageway.
Right. I mean, the point, though, is that, and I don't dispute that, I'm sure that they would prefer to be able to use, you know, the wide open county roads to get there. But if they can't, you know, I mean, they're going to want to use any way they can to get through. And I realize
sure.
It's going to be gated with their having access to it. But
he suggested we get a gate that they could actually manipulate.
Right,
so
right.
If it's a gate, like I have a location down in Rehoboth that I'm familiar with, and it's a gate that actually is a big fence that opens and closes.
Mm-hmm.
We put something like that, they would have a major problem with a damage to the emergency
right.
vehicle, which we don't want to counter that. We'd rather they break the gate and do their emergency services, and we'll take care of repairing the gate if necessary. Mm-hmm. I have a lot more things, but my time is going to be brief, and hopefully you won't have to have as many people speak. I hope I answer any questions. Does anybody have a question for me? Because I have a lot of the information that Rick may not have had. I could possibly answer any of the questions.
I think we're good for now.
And we appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Your input on the five circles. We're going to
okay.
look forward to that.
Okay.
We appreciate,
favor,
yeah, we appreciate you and y'all's, you know, your transparency.
Yes,
it doesn't look like you've tried to, like you know, push this thing out, tip the scales. You're just trying to be honest, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate that.
How you doing? My name is Willie Coffey. I'm also a owner of a house and lot in Schofield on Show Jumper Lane. I was the original board member, along with the two of the principals here, with Nick Hammonds and Doug. And I was glad to see when you asked for a hand, was anybody objective? And of course, they didn't object to it. Also, at one of our meetings, board meetings, originally it was myself and two other principals, this question came up. And we asked them, would you have any objection? Because this is a four-year plan. This is not brand new. This is like from the beginning. And, of course, they said no. And I appreciate that. And unless that has changed, I guess they'll let me know. But that's not really the safety issues have all been discussed. I'm not going to beat that to death. What's really important is why do people move to Lewis? What's important? People like Lewis. It's a great community. It's great for children. It's great for business. The town of Lewis is going to flourish. In fact, I kind of feel sorry for them because there's no place to park anymore. The reason I moved to Lewis was to get away from the water, from North Bethany, and to move to a place where I didn't have to worry about hurricanes so much, and I could walk to town safely. And of course, Monroe Avenue wasn't really there. I attended all the meetings from Lewis and the original, their planning and zoning commission, and they had issues too with traffic and people safety and everything else. But the reality is, even if you have a cut through there, where can you park? There was a meeting just yesterday, or the day before yesterday, with the commissioners in Lewis about parking. There's no place to park. So the reality of it is, you know, we walk, we bike. I would say 99% of the people in our community do the same. My daughter lives in Wolf's Point. They ride their bikes, and they go through, and they walk. Anybody who can walk, walks. So there's really no advantage to this being a cut-through development. Absolutely zero. I was the original member who met with the fire department, with the fire marshal. I had to work with Lopez to get those speed signs put in. And I don't know if it encouraged speeding or it wasn't, but we were concerned. I seen a couple of people almost get hit at the crossing there where the trail is. So it took us about a year and a half, but we got it done, one on each side. So we are concerned about safety. We are concerned about speeding. And that issue will be resolved one way or the other, whether it's going to be through humps or calming or rumble strips. And listen, there's people in every community who speed. We can't deny that. But in this case here, the biggest issue is, my son-in-law owns the Lloyd's Market there in town. He has a parking problem. They're going to change now the street there. Everything is a problem in Lewis with parking. And to make it worse, to say, well, geez, let's invite another 4,000 cars to go to Lewis. There's no place to park. When you put the tourists come in at the Henlopen and everything else, there's absolutely no place to park.
Okay, okay. So we got it. That's not the subject of this hearing. The subject of this hearing is a
everything
gate. And I think you've spoken to that, so we thank you.
I appreciate your time.
Yes, sir.
Hopefully you'll understand why we're here.
All right.
Thank you
so much. I think we got it. Of course, I'm getting to wonder now after all that, but I'm pretty sure it's a gate. Pretty sure it's about the gate. Okay. Who else would like to speak in favor and tell us something new and different? Yes, sir. Come on up. Now, I got one, and this guy coming, and you can be next. I'm sorry I didn't see you, sir. You'll be next. You're up next. Go ahead.
Thank you. Pleased to be here to speak with you tonight. My name is John Ezell. I'm a resident of Schofield.
Okay.
I just want to make one point, and it's sort of been overlooked here today.
Okay.
And that is that with the new development in the city of Lewis, where the bicycle shop is now, that's a commercial development. There is plans to build a restaurant on that property,
uh-huh,
and other additional retail. That is an important factor in the generating cut-through traffic. People will want to go to that restaurant. People will want to come back from that restaurant after perhaps consuming a few adult beverages. And if they're cutting through Schofield, which is not designed to take cut-through traffic, it's designed as a residential street. We're very concerned about that, and we believe that the gate will be a significant mitigating factor to that.
Okay.
The other thing I think the idea of how it would impact the White's Pond development is that if traffic backs up at the traffic light to get onto Freeman Highway, they will be impacted by that.
Mm-hmm.
The gate will cut down on the cut-through traffic that would ultimately back at that point. And mm-hmm. That's essentially the point I wanted to make. If you have any questions, I'll be pleased to answer.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Live. Good afternoon. My name is John Remy. I live at 18314 Show Jumper Lane in the wonderful development of Schofield. I'm blessed to live there. I'm blessed in particular to have such a wonderful community that thinks so highly about public safety. You know, the journey to come here was not a lighthearted event. We have spoken with, searched out in any way that we possibly could, all of the experts to help to solve this problem. Just today, I met with the state police. Couldn't be nicer. Couldn't be more receptive and helpful. But they're limited. They only have so many troopers. And obviously, Route 1, the summer traffic, and all of the other things demands their attention. In 2022, there were six accidents in the immediate area, six collisions, five of which were on Gills Neck Road. Just this year, there were two more collisions that they handled, and they'll be the first to admit a lot of collisions happen that they don't get a chance to handle. They don't get to. So I guess what I'm saying to you is that we as a community have done everything that I think you could ever expect of us. And now it's time, quite frankly, that we need your help. We need to make this happen. You know, it's easy to talk about statistics, but when you put a face to that statistic, maybe it's a little more meaningful to you. You're looking at a guy that in April of 2021, on Gills Neck Road, about a half a mile from our development, head-on collision, not my fault, thank God, 90 physical therapy sessions, 41 injections in the neck and back, 9 epidural spinal injections, and I'm still continuing on. So please, give us your favorable decision to this. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you. Okay, in favor. Anyone who would like to tell us something different? Yes, sir.
We still got three more hearings to go.
Say, yeah.
That's what I was just thinking.
You have no idea.
My name is John Morgan. I'm a resident of the community. And actually, one of the things that I was interested in, and the word's been mentioned a lot today, has to do with connectivity. I think it was your first question that the documents that existed initially and were approved included that.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I'm not certain of, and I think there's some people here that might know better than I, the original plan by the developer was to have the community of Old Town, which is now Old Town, use the facilities that are in Show Jumper. That was the original plan. It was going to be commonly shared, what they called common facilities. And of course that didn't happen. But I guess my thought is that when the original plan was approved, yes, there may have been interest in emergency vehicles, there may have been thoughts about connectivity, but it may also have been to physically allow the communities to share the same facilities, which there's no plan to do anymore. Just
okay.
A thought.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Okay, anyone else? Like to speak in favor. Okay, is there anyone here who'd like to speak in opposition? Going once, twice, no one in opposition? Okay. Operator, is there anyone standing by electronically who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to subdivision 2022-23 Schofield?
If there is anyone on the line who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. At this time, there are no pending comments.
I'm sorry, did he just say there was no one? I didn't hear him. I couldn't hear him.
Repeat it.
At this time, there are no pending comments.
Oh, great. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Didn't hear you the first time. Okay. All right. Yes, Councillor.
Sir, the President, if you could, I have a question just for clarification on something, just because I don't know how this is going to go, but if it was going to be acted favorably upon, the Yelp feature, is that a term of art? Is that a trademark name. Tell me what that means or what that is. I mean, I know what it does, but
it's a standard feature, as I understand it. If they turn on the siren for a second, that noise, that sound has a certain frequency. They also have devices, radio devices, on the emergency vehicles that trigger that to be alerted open.
And I think everybody knows what that is, so that's what the Yelp feature does. And I think you answered my question, but we've kind of all been talking about fire trucks and EMS and ambulances.
Absolutely, yeah.
But somebody else spoke to state police. Does it also work with those types of first responders?
Yes.
Okay, all right. All right, that's all I had.
Commissioners.
Isn't the Yelp the same device that turns traffic lights red?
Well, that was my question. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just because it's referred to. I don't want to. The commission needs to be careful on what term they use. Mm-hmm. You know, if Yelp is a trademark device, you'd have to use Yelp if it was in the motion to approve this at some point.
Actually,
it's proprietary, so
we rely on our counsel to figure those things out.
Well, that reliance is why I'm asking the question. So, thanks.
I had a suspicion that was true, and I'm sure that you'll know a lot more about those systems later than you do right now.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Commissioners, any other questions? Comments?
I have one, Mr.
Right.
Chairman.
Yep.
Mr. Robinson raised concerns about testimony in the presentation from the fire marshal and Lewis Fire Department. Should we leave the record open to allow the applicant to provide letters from those two jurisdictions?
I mean, that's up to you all. That's a call from the commission.
We can consider that when we refer back. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll consider that, because the record is not officially closed until we refer back to the.
You might want, if we're going to take a recess, you might want to refer back to it before.
Would
the
you
recess.
Like to do that?
That
we could do that right now. Okay. What we're going to do is close the public hearing, and then we're going to refer back to the public hearing, which normally would not take place until all of our public hearings were done. But since we're going to recess and you're all here, so we'll just do that right now. So we'll close the public hearing, invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Now, referring back to public hearing subdivision 22-23 Schofield, any discussion, comment, suggestions? A sense of some division on this issue. So
I'd just like to make my position clear.
Thank goodness you've been kind of, we just weren't sure.
Well, I've been absent for a while, so I came back and I'm just so happy to be back.
Okay.
All right. No, I have nothing else. No.
Okay. Well, I think there has been plenty of testimony presented worth taking to some time to consider. Mr. Mears mentioned about leaving the record open. I'm a little confused. I thought we did have letters from those people, but they
weren't. So we have a letter. There is a letter that says that the Lewis Fire Company is good with installing the Yelp system. The fire department will have their own number assigned to access with the keypad. Recommended number would be, and they give the number. They say, in the event the fire department enters the community during an emergency through the gates, they will remain open until the emergency is concluded. All these requirements will be met with the gate operating systems and maintained by the association. It's sort of a letter agreement between the HOA and the fire company.
Okay.
So that is in the record. My question was more about the statement of that's in there, about using residential streets, which is sort of a separate issue.
I don't have a particular objection to leaving the record open if you would like to. Procedurally, it kind of extends the process a little bit, because we'll have to come back 2 weeks from now and close the record, and then we would vote at some point after that. So, but that's...
I mean, the thought would be...
If that's your motion...
I think it's up to council if he thinks we...
Oh, no, it's not my call. If you want to leave the record open, that's you all.
Well, I understand that, but
I think more what council was trying to get clarification on, if I may.
Sure.
was the gentleman's testimony and what he said that the fire department, he made it sound as though it was in the written stuff, but I think it was just his opinion or his recollection of the conversation.
Right, so. And that's why I was suggesting he could get it in writing if council thought it would be appropriate before we made the decision.
I'm okay with it not being.
I'm okay with it not.
All right. I'm not concerned about. Yeah, I'm good. So, but I do think we need some time to consider.
Yeah, make a motion to defer for further consideration.
A second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 22-23 Schofield to allow the commission time to consider the testimony presented. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Okay. At this time, we will take about a 30-minute recess. We'll be back at 6:15.